Greetings, everyone, and welcome to World News and Prophecy, the program that brings you current news in light of Bible prophecy. From ancient days to the present day, people have fought, bled, and died in their quest to control Jerusalem. No other city has been so desired and fought over as Jerusalem has. In its history, Jerusalem has been fought over by armies of the Assyrians, Babylonians, Egyptians, Greeks, Ptolemies, Seleucids, Romans, Byzantines, Persians, Arabs, Seljuks, Crusaders, Mongols, Mamelukes, the Turks, the British, the Jordanians, and now the Palestinians, as they are called, who are somewhat symbolic of the world of Islam. Although most nations do not specifically claim any right to Jerusalem, most nations do deny the sole right of the Jews to claim this city as solely their own. Eventually, Jerusalem will be the focus of the Middle East because it is recognized by two major religions as their spiritual capital. That is, the world of Christendom and Judaism, and it is viewed by Islam as their third most holy site behind Mecca and Medina. The city which grew up around the small walled village captured by King David from the Jebusites 3,000 years ago is a focal point of never-ending debate among the great superpowers. Jerusalem in its dual form means possession of peace or foundation of peace. The city is also called Salem, Arrow, Jebus, the city of God. It's also called the Holy City. The reason it's referred to as a holy city is because God placed his active presence in the Holy of Holies in the temple that Solomon built in Jerusalem. Holy things have God's active presence in them. The saints are called holy because God's active presence is in them. Sacred things point to a higher reality. Zion is the mount on which David pitched a tabernacle for the Ark of the Covenant. Zion literally means parched place. Zion also is symbolic of the church, as Paul writes in Hebrews 12:22, that you have come to the city of the living God, to Mount Zion. Jerusalem and Zion are used somewhat interchangeably in Scripture. Modern-day Arabs call Jerusalem El-Quds, meaning the holy, so they also refer to it as the holy or holy city. Jerusalem is a mountain city built on the edge of one of the highest plateaus in Palestine. According to tradition, Jerusalem is built around the rock that is purported to mark the center of the earth. The modern-day nation of Israel is involved in a battle on two fronts, one north of Jerusalem on the Lebanese and Syrian borders, and one to the south in Gaza. But her enemies extend far beyond her immediate borders. But when all is said and done, the battle is really over Jerusalem, not just Palestine, but Jerusalem is really the focal point once again because of its spiritual significance to three of the greatest religions on the face of the earth. There are several greatly diverse and opposing forces in this latter-day battle for Jerusalem. Firstly, the returning Jews, numbering of almost 6 million, claiming Jerusalem as the eternal indivisible capital of the Jews. Secondly, the local Palestinians under the leadership of Mahmoud Abbas, successor to Yasser Arafat, they claim Jerusalem as their capital. Thirdly, surrounding Arab nations, who along with North African nations, support the Palestinian claim on Jerusalem. Fourthly, international Arab and Muslim forces, some backing the Palestinians, claim Jerusalem as a Muslim religious city of high importance. Fifthly, Roman Catholicism, to which the successful establishment of a Jewish state threatens the validity of their declared theology, which does not allow, that is, their theology, does not allow for a physical modern state of Israel. The ancient state having been dissolved in, quote, This is a quote from the Catholics in punishment for having crucified Jesus. The Pope promotes the idea of an internationalized Jerusalem, capital of two nations and three religions. Sixthly, the United Nations lays claim to the status for Jerusalem under Resolution 181, which was passed by the UN General Assembly in November of 1947. This resolution was passed after thousands of Jews returned to their ancient homeland. UN Resolution 181 called for the creation of an Arab and Israeli state in Palestine, with Jerusalem being under international control. The Arabs rejected the resolution and attacked the Israelis in May of 1948. Israel won the war and declared an independent state, and eventually became a member of the United Nations. From 1948 to the present day, the conflict between the Palestinians and the Israelis has raged. A host of wars, ceasefires, peace plans, and negotiations and negotiators have come and gone during the past 60 years. The current so-called roadmap for peace is led by a quartet of international entities, including the European Union, the United Nations, Russia, and the United States. The hallmark of the current peace plan calls for an independent Palestinian state living side by side with Israel in peace and with Jerusalem being divided. The United States has taken the lead in most of the negotiations. U.S. diplomats will talk to the Palestinians, then talk to the Israelis, and then sometimes they will try to hold joint discussions. For the most part, the two parties have refused to directly negotiate with each other. The Palestinians have insisted that Israel stop building settlements on the West Bank and stop various security measures. And the Israelis, on the other hand, have insisted that the Palestinians must recognize Israel's right to exist and denounce terrorism. And to complicate matters, in recent months, the Palestinians have been on the verge of civil war between two of their leading factions, Hamas and Fatah. This, coupled with Israel's war with the terrorist organization Hezbollah recently on the Lebanese border, served to make the situation even more confusing and chaotic. However, Depcafile, a Mideast intelligence source, reports that last week, Bush administration officials notified President Olmert's senior aides in Washington that the wait for the Palestinians to comply with the roadmap conditions are no longer valid. In other words, Prime Minister Olmert is told that he must begin negotiations with the Palestinians before they recognize Israel's right to exist and before they renounce terrorism. U.S. officials pressed Israel to initiate final settlement talks with Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas. Apparently, the urgency of this new push to settle the ongoing conflict between the Israelis and the Palestinians has been led by Saudi and Jordanian leaders. The Saudis and the Jordanians and other Arab states are fearful that the Iraqi insurgency and the role that Iran is playing in the insurgency will spill over into Jordan, Saudi Arabia, and surrounding Arab states. Modern Arab leaders are afraid that the whole region will become destabilized and result in their governments being overthrown. Moreover, Arab leaders view Israel as the root cause for the great conflict in the region. At the heart of all this is the deep divide between the religious beliefs of Islam, Judaism, and Christianity, and the fact that there is a fallen spirit world led by Satan, the devil, and the demons, and Satan is on an insatiable quest to be worshipped. The Islamic world is set on controlling the Temple Mount, which Jews consider to be the most holy place on the face of the earth. And the reason for that, as we've already mentioned, is that God placed His presence the Shekinah glory in the Holy of Holies in the temple that was built by Solomon. The world of Christendom basically supports the Jewish claim to the Temple Mount, as that area was promised to Abraham and his descendants. Furthermore, Christians believe that certain Bible prophecies, including the return of Jesus Christ to the earth, centers on events in and around the Temple Mount. These events include the Jews building an altar or temple, most believe a temple, and offering animal sacrifices, and the placing of the abomination that makes desolate in the holy place is prophesied by the prophet Daniel and quoted by Jesus Christ in Matthew 24:15. Islam teaches that Muhammad ascended to heaven from the area where the Al-Aqsa Mosque now stands on the Temple Mount. But there is another important spiritual dimension to all of this that we have pointed out on numerous occasions on this program. That is, Satan the devil is the god of this present evil age, and he is on an insatiable quest to break prophecy, thwart the plan of God, and become the object of worship. For a brief period of time, this age-old quest will be realized, and everyone whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life will worship the pseudo-Messiah who is possessed by Satan the devil. When we come back for the next segment of our program, we'll continue to explore the question concerning all of the events that surround the battle for Jerusalem. If you would really like to make sense out of what's happening in today's world as you read your newspaper and you listen to the news on television, you need to be able to evaluate the news in light of Bible prophecy. We have a free booklet that we can send you, and that booklet is titled You Can Understand Bible Prophecy, and also we have another booklet titled Are We Living in the Last Days? To receive these two free booklets, You Can Understand Bible Prophecy and Are We Living in the Last Days, all you have to do is to call our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. Once again, that toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. And we'll send you these two free booklets, You Can Understand Bible Prophecy and Are We Living in the Last Days? These two booklets will help you be able to ferret out what is truth and what is fiction, and you will come to understand what really lies ahead. A wonderful future lies ahead for the peoples of the world whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So pick up the phone and call right now this toll-free number, 1-888-886-5614. Once again, 1-888-886-5614. And now back to World News and Prophecy. The battle for Jerusalem will continue to wage until Jesus Christ returns to this earth and liberates Jerusalem and sets up his headquarters in Jerusalem, as we'll note later and clearly in Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. It now seems that due to Saudi pressure, the Bush administration has shelved the roadmap of peace by the quartet, shelved that plan in favor of the Saudi plan that was first offered in 2002. According to Debka File, in the Sunday cabinet meeting, Israeli Prime Minister Olmert announced he was seriously considering accepting the 2002 Saudi peace plan. The Saudi peace plan restricts Israel's defense measures against terrorist attacks. The area of Israel known as Palestine is a key to world government and world dominion because of its religious and strategic importance. It is the historical crossroads of the world. For centuries, it served as a land bridge for caravans between Europe, Asia Minor, Asia, and Africa. Today, it sits adjacent to one of the great sea lands, the Suez Canal, and its neighbors hold 40% or more of the world's known petroleum reserves. But the strategic importance of Palestine, both in terms of location and natural resources, is not the principal reason for the contention over Jerusalem. First of all, the contention is a family feud between the descendants of Ishmael and Isaac, dating back to the days of Abraham. Both are descendants of Abraham, and both claim that they have the God-given right to the area. And secondly, as we have already noted, Jerusalem is the spiritual capital of Judaism and Christianity, and viewed as the third most holy site by the Islamic world. Satan knows that his insatiable quest to thwart the plan of God and become the object of worship cannot be achieved apart from a religious dimension. The site on which the temple was afterwards built belonged to Araunah, a Jebusite, from whom it was purchased by David. David refused to accept it as a free gift, and David eventually built a tabernacle on Mount Zion and made Jerusalem the capital of Israel. David eventually also brought the Ark of the Covenant that had been captured by the Philistines into that tabernacle. Then David's son, Solomon, built a temple on Mount Moriah just across the way from Mount Zion, and God placed his presence in that temple. And that's one of the main reasons why Jerusalem is called the Holy City. And the Ark of the Covenant was brought over from the tabernacle that David had pitched on Mount Zion and placed in the Holy of Holies in Solomon's temple. Solomon's temple was destroyed in 587 by the Babylonians. The Babylonians took the vessels that were used in temple worship to Babylon, and they used them, that is, Babylonian rulers used these vessels from time to time in their festive activities in which they praised their gods. The famous story of Belshazzar seeing the handwriting on the wall in that festive occasion, they were drinking and making merry, and suddenly the handwriting appeared on the wall, and they wondered what it was. And as they were making merry, they were using the very vessels that were brought from the temple in Jerusalem to Babylon. No one could interpret the handwriting on the wall, which read, "Many, many tekel upharsin," and eventually the queen mother told Belshazzar that there was a prophet of old who could probably interpret the message. So they sent for Daniel, and Daniel interpreted the message, telling Belshazzar that many, many tekel upharsin means that you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. And so, that very night, the Medes and the Persians came in, and they captured Babylon, and Belshazzar's rule came to an end. Then after about 70 years in captivity, the Jews were allowed to return to Palestine and build a temple. This second temple pictured in many ways the Church of God which was to come. That temple, that is that second temple, the Restoration Temple, did not have many of the elements that Solomon's temple had. In fact, it was missing, it lacked five elements that were associated with Solomon's temple. One, the Shekinah glory. Today, the Shekinah glory, or God's presence, is in us. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says that you are the temple of God. That Restoration Temple lacked the sacred fire. Today we offer up spiritual sacrifices. It also lacked the Urim and Thummim. Today we have the Word of God to live by and a more sure word. It also lacked the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant has not been recovered to this day. Today the law of God is written on our inward parts through the Holy Spirit. And it lacked a continuing word of prophecy. No continuing prophet was on the scene from the days of Malachi to the time that Jesus Christ came on the scene. But today we have a more sure word of prophecy, as the Apostle Peter writes in 2 Peter 1:19. Today all of these dimensions are fulfilled through the terms of the New Covenant. The church today is being built by Jesus Christ. Now that second temple, that restoration temple, was destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD. Eventually the Temple Mount came under the control of Islam. In 688 through 691, Omar built the Dome of the Rock over the site where Abraham offered Isaac. In 715, followers of Muhammad built the Al-Aqsa Mosque, literally meaning the Father's Mosque, and this is the place that, according to the Islamic world, where Muhammad ascended back to heaven. Over the centuries, the Temple Mount has been fought over, and it continues to be the hottest place of real estate on the face of the earth because it is clearly prophesied in Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, that Jerusalem is going to become the spiritual capital of the world during the millennium. Satan knows this, and Satan is going to try to beat God and Christ to the punch, as it were, and a pseudo-system is going to be set up that will deceive everyone whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Satan is going to inspire the beast power to even set up his headquarters in Jerusalem in Daniel 11:45. And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas in the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. So before Christ returns and Jerusalem once again truly becomes the spiritual capital of the world, great religious deception is going to come about. We understand from the scriptures that the restoration temple that the Jews are planning to build will at least have an altar and offer sacrifices. Thus, some kind of pseudo-peace is coming to the Middle East. However, this peace is going to be taken away along with the sacrifices, as the beast power is energized by Satan and assumes the role of Antichrist. According to Revelation 11, verses 1 and 2, the city is going to be divided and trodden down by the nations. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot for 3.5 years. Jerusalem is going to be divided, just like the roadmap for peace plan calls for. It's going to be divided. It's going to be given to the nations, and they're going to trot it down for 3.5 years. And during this time also, God is going to raise up two witnesses who will be on the scene providing a powerful testimony about God and about Christ and about what's going on. But apparently very few people will heed what they have to say, and eventually the beast power will kill the two witnesses. Jesus spoke of this time in Matthew 24:15. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso reads, let him understand. And Jesus goes on to say in Matthew 24, verses 21 through 24, For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ, false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Will you be the one of the ones who is deceived? The recipe, the formula for not being deceived is to love the truth. You, the only way that you can really develop a love affair with the truth is to open the pages of your Bible and see for yourself whether or not the things that we are saying here are true. And you can call for the two free booklets, You Can Understand Bible Prophecy, and the booklet, Are We Living in the Last Days? Yes, these booklets will help you understand what is happening and what the future holds. As I've already noted, Satan is, of course, the one who is behind so much of the chaos and confusion that is going on in the world today. He realizes the importance of the Temple Mount as it is viewed as the spiritual capital of Christianity and Judaism, with Jerusalem being the third most holy place in Islam. Revelation 13, verses 7 through 8 reveals that Satan will eventually realize his age-old quest to be worshipped. The political stakes that are being played out today are awesome to contemplate because they will eventually culminate in the man of sin and the son of perdition being revealed. Much of the hatred that is now directed towards Christians center on their belief that Christians are supporting politicians who will help Israel build a temple, that then paves the way for the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. Even though the Bible clearly presents the scenario, the restoration of the temple worship, and an imposter sitting in the temple of God proclaiming that he is God, there is no evidence from Scripture that Christians are supposed to be engaged in warfare to bring about the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. The Bible warns us that the weapons of our warfare are spiritual and not physical. The fulfillment of Bible prophecy in end times events will probably not be as simple as some would lead you to believe, because Jesus Christ himself said, if it were possible, the very elect will be deceived. Once again, we must all realize that the great deceiver, Satan the devil, is orchestrating events behind the scenes and is deceiving the whole world in turning away from God and trusting in themselves. The Islamic world is on a mission to convert the world to Islam through force and whatever means that are necessary. As the confusion and chaos continues to mount on the world scene, people will become more and more fearful, more and more willing to give their allegiance and loyalty to the person that will, in their view, provide them with the greatest security. In fact, this issue of security is a cornerstone issue of the current political races, especially on the national level. When world conditions become so chaotic and confused that the peoples of the world cry out for peace and safety, Satan will energize the beast and false prophet. The major religions of the world are looking for a Messiah to come on the scene in the near future and lead the world into an era of peace and prosperity. The Buddhists are looking for the fifth Buddha. The Hindus are looking for Krishna. The Islamic world is looking for the Grand Mahdi. The New Agers are looking for Maitreya. The Jews are looking for the Messiah. They don't recognize Jesus Christ. And Christians are looking for the second coming of Christ. The world is indeed ripe for deception. So where will you stand in that day? Will you be deceived, or will your name be written in the Lamb's book?